is a very wise young man to lead his dad in those thoughts, and I appreciate that so much. I was going to tease tonight, I was going to tease Mike because he hadn't been able to be here, but I thought to myself, if I was not able to be here week after week after week, I don't want to be teased either. So we're so thankful that Mike is able to be here tonight. We miss him and we miss Marilyn so very, 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 very much. I'm not sure if many have been able to go, but I know cards and other things have been sent, but it's still not the same. Mike, please know how much we miss y'all. It's just, this might be our tearful night, I'm not sure. We had our men's business meeting today and had a very enjoyable men's business meeting. Let me mention a few things that I think needed to be mentioned, and those men who were there, if you'll make sure I speak them correctly. First of all, we want to thank everyone for turning in their attendance survey. We had quite a few of them turned in and some very, very good ideas. In fact, tentatively, we're planning on having the congregational meeting the first Sunday in June. Now, being the first Sunday, we will have our fellowship dinner, and then we would like to just stay. We're going to try to keep it fairly short and fairly sweet. We're going to try to keep it sweet and fairly short. But go ahead and mark that on your calendar. That'll be the first Sunday in June. That's also the Sunday we're going to be recognizing Jalen as our only graduating senior. And so we'll be giving him his Bible on that day, and we'll just have a good time. Now, we ran off all of the attendance surveys and handed them out. The men are going to be glancing at those, studying those, and then we'll be assessing an outline to follow in that men's business meeting. In that congregational meeting. But one thing that I want to say, and please accept this just exactly the way I'm saying it. In all of those wonderful attendance surveys, no one said, this is what I would like to do. Will the congregation support me as I do this? So in the congregational meeting, not only are we going to talk about these things, but we're going to ask the congregation, okay, this is something that the congregation wants to do. Who will head that up? Who will work that program? Who will work with the other people? Rather than, I don't want to be preachy, but I guess I am. I'm a preacher. Just saying we need to do something. That doesn't get it done. So those of us who really want to do something, those of us who want to see this congregation grow, we're going to have to step up. All of us are going to have to step up and take care of that. So we'll be having that the first Sunday in June. Pardon? Well, sure, you're my mom. I'm not going to stop you. Okay, we will need that, and you gave me a list of the number of baptisms last year, restorations. I've lost it. I'm going to need to get you to give me that list again. Okay, thank you for that. We also, tentatively, are going to ask Freddie Anderson to come again this year. We considered several other men that we don't know, men that we really would like to invite in the future. One is a former employee at NASA, and he approaches the Bible from that mental perspective. So maybe we will do that. We would reach out into the community, especially the young people, and see if we couldn't get them involved in that. Another man has worked diligently on writing books about different things. We might invite him. But since we've run out of time for this year, we're going to invite Freddie to come back again this year. That'll be probably the last Sunday in the month of October, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Sunday is going to really be a special day in that we're going to ask Freddie to conduct a couple of hour with the young people, 6th through 12th, I think is what we've decided. We'll fudge a little bit on both sides of that. But we're going to see if we can't do some special things with the young people on that Sunday afternoon. We'll feed them, and we'll eat too, but we'll feed them. and just really make something special for our young people. We have a special group of young people in this congregation. I hope everyone realizes that. We need to let them know how special they are. So we're going to be having Freddie the last Sunday through Wednesday in October, if that works into his schedule, and I know that it will. And then that Sunday, we're going to need some help in preparing a meal for those young people. That will certainly, that always falls into place. Also, there were some other suggestions about our absentees. And some things were said because I just don't think everyone knows that we do contact our absentees. But I'm asking for a volunteer tonight. If you are in my Sunday morning Bible class, we're just going to do it for Sunday morning now. And if you would help me come up with a roll call of all of our Sunday morning students, I would like to get a volunteer to check roll. And if they have not been here even one Sunday, especially one of our regulars, if we know Alan's working a different schedule, we certainly understand that. But if one of our regulars, we don't know if they're out of town, we don't know if they're ill, if we just don't know, we're going to contact them every week. So I need a volunteer. All right, I've got Nancy. Thank you very much. Nancy and I will work together on compiling a list. We're going to check it, and we're going to make sure that our absentees every week that we don't know the situation, we're going to find out what the situation actually is. I believe that's all from our meeting. Keith, can you think of anything else from our meeting? Tommy, anyone? Mike, Ken, anyone? All right, we will go with that. We have a visitor tonight. We do. Andy Garcia is visiting with us tonight, and hopefully we'll be seeing him more. He got in late there on the shutdown. Is it a shutdown? Actually, he's been here quite a bit, but he's coming to the fellowship next Sunday morning to let everybody know who he is. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Travis.
I should have remembered that. Travis is here a lot, but he's one of these sneak in, sneak out kind of guys. And if we can get him to our fellowship, and if you happen to not be working next Sunday morning, we go over to the other building and we have a wonderful feast over there every time. And so we encourage the congregation to be there and greet our visitors also. One last thing. Tonight is the last in our series, and I'm going to get into my introduction in a moment, so I don't want to preach it twice. I believe that our series has gone very well. I really do. I don't feel that our attendance is really any better, but I've got an awful lot of very, very positive comments about the series. We've had handouts each time. If you don't have a handout, hold your hand up. Barry will get you one. My mother doesn't have a handout, Barry. We have had some good comments. I have not looked at it yet, but I get the spiritual sword. I don't know if you're familiar with the spiritual sword. They never carried my articles because these are some really smart guys. So they never carried my stuff, but these are some wonderful. This time it is, how can we grow? What my intention is, I'm going to take these articles and turn those into a series of Sunday night lessons. I haven't even looked at the listing of speakers, but I will assure you, these are some of the most sound men in our brotherhood. So probably, well, I won't be here next Sunday. Probably not even the next Sunday, but in the fairly near future, I hope that we will begin another series, maybe one lesson, two lessons, five lessons. I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and work up the handouts also. I think that goes over very well, and we will begin there. Okay. With this lesson tonight, we conclude our series of sermons on why we need. You remember them as well as I. Why we need God. Why we need the Bible. Why we need Jesus. Why we need the Holy Spirit. Why we need the gospel. Why we need each other. Well, I have saved this lesson for last because I truly believe every lesson that we've had so far in some way, directly or indirectly, is pointing to this lesson. Why we need the Lord's Supper. So that will be our lesson tonight, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is divinely designed and always causes us to remember the death of Jesus. Now, I have admitted this in class, probably sermons, and certainly in private visits. I have a difficult time dividing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus from the Lord's Supper. I have a difficult time. But actually, as we will see in these verses tonight, is to remind us of the death. We'll read this scripture, until Jesus comes again. Now, in each of the lessons so far, and it began as a coincidence, and then I decided to go ahead and work it into the lesson, I've needed to make an assumption. So I assume this audience tonight knows that the Lord's Supper, the wording description can be different in the New Testament. It is referred to as the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It is referred to as the communion in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It's referred to as the breaking of bread in Acts 20 and verse 7. Now the word, and really the phrase from which we get this concept, we're familiar with the word Eucharist. Well, it's a Greek word, Eucharistio. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it well. You can correct me after services. But it actually is not talking about the body and the blood. The Eucharistio is referring to Jesus asking a blessing on the representation of his body and his blood. So in partaking the Lord's Supper, such a simple act, taking a pinch of matzos, a pinch of unleavened bread, taking a sip of the fruit of the vine, and yet it has tremendous, tremendous importance to us. So when we partake of that unleavened bread, we're thinking about not unleavened bread, but the body of Jesus. We're not thinking about what's for lunch. We're thinking about Jesus having his body broken for us on the cross. Not his bones, but his body was broken. And when we partake of that little sip of fruit of the vine, the grape juice, it reminds us of the blood, the tremendous amount of blood that Jesus shed while on the cross. Not like the romantic artist painted with a little trickle of blood here and a little trickle of blood there. A man that was gushing with blood. He did that for us. And we're going to find that the scripture indicates we're to do that not only on the first day of the week, but every first day of the week. Why do we need the Lord's Supper? Well, I suppose we could simply say, number one, we need the Lord's Supper because it was instituted by Jesus. Brother, I can't think of anything that was instituted by Jesus pertaining to the church that we don't need. This was instituted by Jesus. Matthew 26:26-28. This is the passage I think that we more are familiar with than any other. And let me go ahead and say this in passing. Not only this Matthew 26, but the other gospel accounts. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 11. You'll see we use those quite a bit. Those are the passages that give us the most information about the Lord's Supper. Matthew 26, beginning with 26. As they were eating, that's Jesus and his disciples, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Not that it was his body. It doesn't literally become flesh. It represented the body of Jesus Christ. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Jesus blessed the contents, not the cup itself. Jesus blessed the fruit of the vine, the contents of that cup. "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Brethren, we observe the Lord's Supper because the Lord told us to do that. We have command in the Bible. We have example in the Bible. We have inference in the Bible. That's why we do it. Let's go to Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 24. And he's referring to this time. Jesus has given him, the Spirit has given him this information. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, still talking about the bread, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." His body was broken, not his bones. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, also called the New Testament, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it," notice, "in remembrance of me." That's not just a pinch of cracker. That's not just a sip of grape juice. It represents in our heart Jesus, who died on the cross. Now, concerning the Lord's Supper, let's look at some biblical evidence. The biblical evidence is that the Lord's Supper was partaken on the first day of the week. In fact, the biblical evidence is, from the book of Acts, that it was taken every first day of the week. Now, I did not list them, nor do I remember them, but every time, I don't want you to prove me wrong. You cannot prove this wrong. Every time the first day of the week is mentioned in a congregational setting, every time it's mentioned in a congregational setting, they partook of the Lord's Supper. Every time. Every time there was a week that had a first day that was mentioned in the Scripture, they partook of the Lord's Supper. Acts 20, verse 7. "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together," for what? "To break bread." Now, pause right there and hold your device or your Bible right there. I'll try to remember where I got to also. We need to be a little bit cautious when we use this phrase, breaking bread or break bread. Occasionally, we're going to find that wording used, and it's referring to a common meal. But not. We need to look at the context. The context here is certainly not talking about a common meal. So, the cup of blessing, which one am I reading? Acts 20, verse 7, "Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, to observe the Lord's Supper, and Paul took that opportunity to preach." And we don't know what time he started, but he preached till midnight. And Eutychus fell out of the window. What an exciting story that is. So breaking of bread here is a reference to the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" We'll talk about that word communion in a moment. Isn't that what it is? It's the communion of the blood of Christ and the bread which we break. "Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body," that's the church, "and one plan of salvation, for we all partake of that one bread." So the Corinthian church, though they were observing the Lord's Supper incorrectly, they still realized that they needed to come together on the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22, and I'm just going to read verse 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper?" Notice the word. When we come together, when we're the church is together, we're here to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, brethren, I'm not trying in any way to diminish any of the other actions of worship. Not at all. But it seems obvious, at least to me, that the early church met on the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. While they were together, they took opportunity to sing and pray and study and bring the gathering, bring their money that they had earned during the week, so that, as Paul said, there was no gathering when he came. I'm not diminishing singing or any of the other actions of worship. But it seems very obvious they came together to observe the Lord's Supper. Let's also consider the historical evidence. You will notice on your page there's no verses mentioned as historical evidence. If verses were mentioned, it would be biblical evidence. So it's not. But I think we can trust a lot of this, but this does not hold the weight that the Scripture actually does. In an uninspired epistle, and don't be afraid of the word epistle, it just means a letter. In an uninspired letter with which we have no assumption of who the author was, written in 95 AD, 60 some odd years after the church, it's called the Didache. In the Didache, whoever the man was, uninspired, said that the church of his day was meeting every first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. We're probably more familiar with a Christian named Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr is one of the church history people, one of the church writers of ancient history. He lived about 150 AD, so over 100 years after the church. Justin Martyr also said, the church meets every first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. And I have to take someone's feeling for this. I grew up respecting, I wrote it down just a second, B.W. Johnson's People's New Testament Commentary, or People's New Testament with Notes. I don't remember what it was called. It was the standard one-volume commentary when I was growing up. No one ever questioned it. I'm getting this information from him. Brother Johnson says that not only did Justin Martyr and this other unnamed man, but every early church writer, Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Origen, and Crispian, all acknowledged that in their day, the church met every first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper. Now that's historical evidence. We're really more interested in the church. Let's look at the value of the Lord's Supper. The first value I would like to talk about in the Lord's Supper is as a memorial. Now, brethren, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a difficult time describing the items that we use on the table. Are they emblems? Well, yes, but they're not called that. Are they items? Yes, but they're not called that. But we know that they are as a memorial. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23, I think I read this a moment ago. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. What's the context? The Lord's Supper. If we partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, we're eating and drinking judgment upon ourselves. Paul here is saying how serious God is about this. To God, that represents his Son, his body, and his blood. And to us, it represents the same thing. So the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It draws our attention to the death of Jesus. His death ushered in Jesus saying, Matthew 26, 28, a new covenant. And Hebrews 9, 16 says the same thing. But instead of saying a new covenant, he says a new testament. And I think we're more familiar with that. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, it shows that his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, is how we obtain remission for our sins. Brethren, the value of the supper is as a memorial. It's also as a proclamation. Now, I don't have as much problem using that word proclamation because of 1 Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, make this proclamation, the death of our Lord until he comes again. Brethren, the church is going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week until Jesus comes again, because he will come again. Brethren, again, I'm not discounting Jesus' life. I'm not discounting his power. I'm not discounting his teaching. I'm not discounting the burial or the resurrection or the ascension. But the Lord's Supper shows us that the death of Jesus has to be one of the very central things in our Christian lives. It was John Whittington that came here years and years and years ago. I don't even remember what his assignment was, but I will always remember that Brother Whittington said, it's all about the blood. And it is. It's all about Jesus' sacrifice, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. If he didn't die, it would be moot to partake of the Lord's Supper and other things as well, his resurrection and his ascension. I understand that. But it all begins with the Lord's Supper. Let's don't stop there. The Lord's Supper also, we also proclaim his second coming. The same verse, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Brethren, again, the church, regardless of whether it lasts another day, another 1,000 days, another 1,000 years, the church will be observing the Lord's Supper when Jesus comes again. So it's a memorial, it's a proclamation. It's also a time for reflection, and I'm not sure I had ever really thought of this as such, so I ask you to stay with me. In 1 Corinthians 11, again, Paul, the context is the observance of the Lord's Supper. We get down to verse 28. We're talking about the observance of the Lord's Supper. Paul says, examine yourself. Isn't that personal reflection? Look at yourself. Prove yourself. And then he goes on to say, make sure that we're observing the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. So it is a time for personal reflection. Next, the Lord's Supper is a time of special fellowship. I think everyone who hears me preach often knows I love that Greek word koinonia. Koinonia means fellowship. It's translated into our testaments as fellowship. It's the sharing of each other's lives. But the fellowship we have in the Lord's Supper is not really with each other. It's with Jesus' death. Let me read again from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the sharing of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break? Is it not the communion or the body of Christ? It is sharing, not sharing each other's lives. We do need to do that. But sharing in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. And that leads us to another point. In the Lord's Supper, we're not only sharing with Jesus, and this almost sounds like I'm going back on what I just said. In a sense, we are also sharing with each other. In Acts 20, verse 7, we've already read it. When the disciples came together, they observed the Lord's Supper. We come together, we observe the Lord's Supper. We share in each other's lives. 1 Corinthians 10, 17, I will not read it, read it for yourself, talks about the oneness that comes to the church because of the death of Jesus Christ. Let me just get into my conclusion now. The first Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Breaking of bread here is a reference to worship, but of course the Lord's Supper is part of the worship setting. That's Acts 2:42. Coming together on the first day of the week, I'm not going to say it's the only reason, but that's the main reason that we're here, to observe the Lord's Supper. Since we're here, we do these other things, these other actions of worship together as well. Acts 20, verse 7. Coming together on the first day of the week is supported by historical evidence, but even more so, it is supported by biblical evidence. It is a memorial of the great sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. It is a proclamation of our faith in the Lord Jesus, our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that he is coming again. It's a time for personal reflection. We need to make sure we are partaking in a worthy manner. And it is a time to share with each other. Share in the fact that Christians are going to heaven together. And it's a means to build fellowship also. I think one of the reasons we are so interested in our brothers and sisters who are not here on the first day of the week is because they're not able to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I think that we realize how important it is to us. We need to help them realize how important it is to them. With that, we conclude our lessons. We need a lot of things. We need God. We need the Bible. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the gospel. We need each other. But we need the body and the blood of Jesus to be a weekly reminder, really a daily reminder, but every Lord's Day reminder of Jesus' death until he comes again. Did not mention first principles, did not intend on mentioning first principles, but if anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, the invitation is open. Won't you come as we stand together and sing?